Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
I thought we had a great work today until the special teams, right at the end of the special teams period. I have no idea what that was, but that's enough of that crap. You know, that's not good for football. That's not good for anything. So that's the end of that. That's the end of that practice session.
To say the least, John Gruden today, just a little while ago, actually, out at the Raiders Hotel. Can't say where it was, but it's a nice hotel. I got to say that. I can definitely say that. The Raiders are have some nice digs here in Southern California. But John Gruden, after today's practice, which was cut short by about an hour, talking about the fight that started toward the end of a special teams session, which over these last couple of days, that seems to be the culprit more and more, is the special teams periods. That's when the shenanigans start. It started today. About halfway through the practice, there was a big skirmish. There were definitely some punches thrown, guys getting thrown around. They broke them up, the Rams and Raiders, on day two of their joint practices. And then they came charging back at each other. It was kind of comical in a little bit of a way. But then that's when John Gruden ordered the horn to be blown. That was the end of practice. The Raiders got on their buses, headed back to their hotel, and called a day. So, oh, by the way, you're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. We're on Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Thursday, a feisty Thursday. Lincoln Kennedy, you just heard from John Gruden talking about. There's some more. I have some more. It didn't end there. We talked a little bit more to John about today and how it went and how it got cut short. And from a coaching perspective, these guys want to get their work in, and they get tired of having to break things up time and time again. And John just simply had enough and said, "That's it. We're going home."
Not surprised. Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, not surprised at all. The fact is that usually it usually is day two that you get a little bit of a feisty attitude from your players, and it's nothing. You know, that's what's so difficult about the joint practices. You get good competition out of it when you get your work done, but there is going to be some attitudes. And from your report yesterday, as you're saying how it seemed, you know, one-sided that it was in the Raiders' favor, I'm sure the Rams players came out with a little bit of an attitude on day two, and that's what, you know, pushed them over the top. So not surprised. Not surprised at all.
Not surprised at all, no doubt about it. And what was interesting was, you know, you knew it was going to happen. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking to like Darren Waller and guys, you know, there's egos out there. Just as you mentioned, there's egos, there's type A personalities, there's a new jersey, a different jersey. You're trying to hold your ground. You're trying to fight for your teammates. And none of which John Gruden wanted to hear. And here's John Gruden talking about the quote unquote message that he needed to send to his team. Afterwards,
there's no message. You know, they know better. Everybody knows better. And again, it wasn't everybody fighting. It'll be on TV. You'll see a bunch of guys screaming and yelling, but it was two guys in a special teams period. And then it was a lot of trash talking that escalated. It's just sickening, really. It's just stupidity, but I'm done with that. It's just child's play to me.
There's John Gruden in no uncertain terms, but I got to say this, Lincoln, I get that from a coaching perspective, and he's correct. He's right. It is childish. It's kind of dumb when you think about it. You know, when you really break it down, it is kind of silly when you think about it. But we all know the reasons for it, and so there's an understanding of it as well. But I will say this, Lincoln Kennedy, and I will submit this to you, Lincoln Kennedy. I think there's something positive that comes out of that. And what I saw from the Raiders over these last 2 days, almost from the moment they got off the bus on both days, they wanted to compete. They wanted to fight. They wanted to, you know, kind of prove themselves a little bit, maybe even prove something a little bit to themselves. But I noticed this because when I got to the hotel where the Raiders were, I went through my Twitter feed and there's Josh Jacobs tweeting out, "I love this team." All right. So he was obviously tweeting from the bus headed back to the hotel from the practice facility. When I talked to Josh Jacobs later on, when he talked to the media, I said, "So you send this tweet out, 'I love this team.' Was that in reference to how guys had each other's back?" And he's like, "Absolutely. In fact, this is what he said," and we'll talk about it right after we play this sound.
"Definitely about how the whole situation was handled. I mean, if you look at our guys and you see how we reacted and you see their guys and how they just let some things happen, I mean, I like the fact that our team got the fighting spirit and not only that, but they had each other's back. So, yeah, it was definitely huge."
Lincoln, you know, Josh Jacobs tweeted that and then a whole bunch of teammates liked it and retweeted it. It's getting harder and harder to ignore how close this team is becoming. I don't know if it means anything, Lincoln. It might not mean squat in the whole scheme of things. It might not amount to one more win in the whole scheme of things. But it's hard to ignore how close this team is. And it seems like it's a bunch of young guys outside of a couple of older veterans that are kind of coming into their own, that are starting to feel ownership of this team and a sense of belonging in this league. And I think the way they rallied around each other over the last 2 days is something that not to be taken for granted.
Every coach that I've ever played for has always tried to instill the philosophy that we are one. We are a family. We win together. We lose together. We play together. We fight together. And that's been the philosophy throughout my career. Doesn't matter what level you're on. I told you yesterday that, you know, or the day before when we started talking about this, the possibilities practice, I told you that there was one saying that was synonymous in the locker room, especially when I was a Raider. If one of us fights, we all fight. You see, you don't stand on the sideline and watch and talk. No, you get in there. You're in it. If it's a pile on the rabbit, everybody's in there because it'll show up on film. So what you're seeing right now, or what you're hearing and what you're talking about, especially from Josh Jacobs' words, is that this is one team. And no, Gruden doesn't like the fact that you had to cancel practice or stop practice, you can't get your work done because you've got, you know, guys fighting. Look, no matter any way you paint it, fighting itself is stupid. All right, it's unnecessary. It is. There's no doubt about it. And I can't deny it. It's unnecessary. It's dumb. Doesn't matter how it started. Doesn't matter what happened. Fighting takes up time, can get people hurt. You've got people swinging in helmets, hitting pads and stuff like that. You can do all kinds of damage to yourself over something stupid.
Right.
But I will say this. There are times where it brings you closer as a team, because you look around and you say, "These guys got my back," and that's what you want. You see what I'm saying? That's what you want. Yeah, it's dumb. It's a waste of time. I get it, but you want to see that your teammates have your back and they are going to ride with you. Don't care who started it. Don't care how it happened. You fight, we fight. That's what you want. That's what you want in a game situation. That's what you want in a locker room. That's what you want in a team situation. And so, you know, that's the takeaway. There'll be guys, I played with guys that would start fights just to get out of practice. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you know what? I'm not the one who started it, but I'm going to be in there. I get it. So it's all part of the maturing process. It's all part of coming together. And just like you spoke on yesterday, Vinny, when you looked at the team, you talked about the team as a general. these guys are playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because they want to be successful, and they're tired of hearing the banter. They're tired of hearing the talk, the nonsense otherwise. They want to be successful. They need to do it together because you can't do it as individuals. That's not going to work.
I want to throw something at you, Lincoln. You know, I've gotten to know some guys from that 2019 draft class, right? And it's been a while now since, you know, I've gotten to know them, talk to them, you know, that sort of thing, kind of get, you know, a little bit of an insight on what's going on. And what was really interesting to me was how together that 2019 group really is amongst themselves. And to the point where when they kind of first met each other, probably at that first rookie, you know, program that they had with the Raiders back in 2019, they kind of got together as a group and kind of mandated to themselves and have held themselves to this from that point on, that they were going to be part of the foundation that changed this thing around, that got this thing turned around. You're talking about guys that went to Alabama. You're talking to Josh Jacobs, three guys from Clemson that were, I think, coming off the national championship that year. Alec Ingold was from Wisconsin. I think they won 44 games in his 4 years there. I think they either challenged for a Big Ten championship or they played in the Big Ten championship game while he was there. It's a nice program. It's not Alabama, but they win at Wisconsin. There's a winning culture at the University of Wisconsin. And you go on down the list of guys that they brought in 2019, whether they were the draft class or the undrafted free agency class. And they have held each other's feet to the fire in terms of getting this thing turned around. Now, here's the key, though. You can try to do all that when you're a younger player, but a lot of times guys are just going to kind of look at you and like, who are you again? You haven't done anything in this league, so you know, don't come barking up that tree with me. So they were humble about it. They didn't do that. They weren't going to be overly, powerful with it to the rest of their teammates. It was kind of a promise that they made amongst themselves. Well, now they're in year three, Lincoln, and that's become kind of the foundation of the team when you really think about it. There's a lot of guys from that 2019 class, a bunch of starters, Andre James, the new center, the punters from that class, Ingold, Josh Jacobs, Trevon Moehrig, Jonathan Abram. You know, I could go on and on. It's the foundation of this team. And they're starting to take ownership of this team in a lot of ways. Yes, Derek Carr is the face of the franchise. He'll always be the face of this franchise. It's typically how it works with the quarterback. But there's also a heart and soul of a team. And I think that 2019 class is starting to be that heartbeat of that soul and that heart. Can you see that kind of unfolding that way?
Can you imagine being Cleveland Farrell, coming off of a national championship team, being drafted in the first round with the fourth pick, I think it was, and people saying, that's too far, that's a stretch. Why did you take him here? He doesn't deserve to be there. Can you imagine Josh Jacobs after what he went through in his young life, you know, living out in and out of his car, the story, you know, the history behind it, being drafted in the first round, you know, after coming out through the Alabama program a year early, coming out as a junior. Can you imagine if you're Jonathan Abram being compared, the fact that you, the Raiders just got rid of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, you know, two iconic names, because they're turning over the roster. I say that to say this. That draft class coming in, when they came in, had a lot of weight on their shoulders. Had to carry a lot. And it's still the focal point, because now you're waiting for to see the next step. The Raider Nation has been profound in the type of attention, the type of, you know, everything, and the transition from Oakland to Las Vegas carries the weight on its own. This is a iconic franchise. You know what I mean? This is one of those franchises that will not sit, you know, idle long before they want to make noise. The Raider Nation has backed these guys that you're speaking of. you know, Max Crosby comes off of a stellar rookie year to have somewhat of a subpar year his second year. Wasn't necessarily any fault of his own. He was still out there playing, but it was the fact that teams were dedicating more attention to him than they did in his rookie year. We go down the list of players. Players want to prove themselves. Players want to hear, you know, whether it's this current draft class or the last couple of, everybody is under a microscope because they want to see how this pays off. Raider Nation wants to see how this pays off. The Raider Nation is calling for more wins. We ourselves in this business talking about this team are calling for more wins. It is what it is. It'll happen or it won't. You see what I'm saying? So when you talk about playing with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, playing with a little bit of an attitude, absolutely, I see it, as they should. You know, there's not a guy who's come from a program in college. I remember coming out of Washington when I got drafted by Atlanta. I mean, I think we didn't win any of our first six, seven games my rookie year. I was not used to that. I was not used to losing. I was not used to losing that consistently. So I didn't know how to handle it. So I can get in, I can understand exactly what you're saying when it comes to, you know, references of these guys playing with a little chip on the shoulder, as they should. And I'm hoping that it translates to the season. I hope this team is successful. Not only does it give us something to talk about, but, you know, more importantly, it gives them a better feeling to feel about.
Absolutely. We're going to go out to the Raider Nation listener line. Sway wants to talk about Trayvon Mullen. How you doing, Sway?
How are you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to I haven't really heard anything on him yet. This training camp. But I know that we've been talking up our defense. I was hearing Cooper Kupp's name yesterday, man. I wonder where my guy Trayvon Mullen's been at. Just to piggyback anything on how Cleveland Farrell's been doing as well too. If you could jump on that. No, I appreciate
you got
it,
brother. Yeah, you got it, brother. Couple things. Trayvon Mullen's steady Eddie, if you ask me. That dude is just a, you plug him in there and he quietly does his job. There's not a lot of bravado. Sometimes there's not a lot of recognition, but it's because he's doing his job. And he's not giving up a lot in training camp so far, not giving up a lot of big plays. Didn't see him give up much of anything. Against the Rams, let alone, you know, guys picking on him, throwing at his way. So I think what you get in Trayvon Mullen more and more is just consistency, is a level of play that's very consistent. And that's what his coaches have been talking up about him and his growth into a – I thought he was a very solid player last year. And I just think that he keeps stacking up, you know, good days and stacking up, you know, better years, and I think he's in position to really turn a big corner this year. In terms of, you mentioned Cooper Kupp, got to give it up to Trayvon Morig, the free safety. Lincoln, this guy, every single day lately, does something that makes you go, wow, okay. Today, he gets isolated on Cooper Kupp, who we were talking about yesterday. He's kind of a magician out of the slot, one of the best slot wide receivers in the NFL, straight up. So they roll out Matthew Stafford to his left, okay, thinking that everything is going to go over there. And meanwhile, Cooper Kupp is isolated on somehow, some way, on Trayvon Morig all the way to the right, okay? And Cooper Kupp is doing his thing, and Morig was with him stride for stride. Matthew Stafford plants, turns, and throws to his right while he was running to his left. And Trayvon Morig is right there to jump up and go up with Cooper Kupp and knock the ball down. Knowing who that wide receiver was, knowing who that quarterback was, knowing what they were trying to do right there, kind of get him into a false sense of security that the play was moving in one direction when in fact it was going back to Cooper on the opposite side. Trayvon Morig being where he needed to be to make the play again after a couple of picks yesterday, this guy just keeps showing up, Lincoln.
Yeah, you know what, that play that you're mentioning seems to be, like I said, it's a cookie-cutter league. It seems to be a lot of teams are doing it. I remember watching the 49ers in their preseason game, and Trey Lance did the exact same thing, where he rolls out one way and throws back across his body to a wide-open receiver because the defense is sleeping. So you're starting to see a little bit more of that. But it's great awareness. It's also great paying attention to the details, not letting, as you mentioned, the sway of the play to just take you, you know, out of your – out of your right fixture. You stay on your guy. So that's a great heads up play by Trayvon.
Yeah, and it's just it's more proof that he's, you know, moving in the right direction.
Right.
It's been a while now since, like, when they first started training camp. Dalen Levitt was getting the reps as the starter at free safety, although, you know, Morig was basically split in time with them. Well, that's all over with now. It's been Morig as the first team safety, free safety, for a while now. And meanwhile, Jonathan Abram, and it's interesting, Lincoln, he and Jonathan Abram are kind of joined at the hip. Wherever one goes, the other's there.
Good.
Every time, you know, when they do their reps, they come off the field and they stand. In fact, I took a picture of it today at practice. They're with each other at all times, talking, communicating, talking things out. And we had great access over these last couple of days. I might as well have been in the defensive, you know, huddle on the sideline, because all you're hearing on the sideline was guys instructing each other, guys talking to each other. What happened? What did you see? He did a dig. Okay, that guy was on the fade. You know, like, you're hearing what they're saying and what they're talking about. And you know, it being a practice, what I was really impressed with, Lincoln, was just how dialed in guys were. It's
right.
Just a practice, you know, when we say that sometimes, it's just a practice. But they took it seriously. And I think you know, when you're a team like the Raiders, these are moments you have to take every minute seriously, because that's all going to translate, Lincoln, onto the field on Sunday.
Yeah.
One way or another, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it was a good couple of days. Kind of got cut short earlier today. I don't think John Gruden minded all that much. I'm going to double check. Probably really feels about it. I think he might have been a little bit happy about how, in some aspects of what happened and how guys had each other's back. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Thursday, a hot and heavy Thursday out in Thousand Oaks. It was pretty fun today.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny and Lincoln on the Sam and Ash text line at 69187 or tweet them at Vinny Bonsignore and at LKennedy72. This is In the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
I love it, dude. So he'd be right next to me all the time, like in the locker room. He like not too far. But I mean, I love him. I love his energy. I just love the way he played the game. I mean, he has that never quit attitude, like wanting to be a better player, and he fly around. I mean, you can see the confidence in his game. I just try to talk to him every chance I get, tell him he's doing a good job and just to keep stacking days. So yeah, man, I'm excited to see a lot of them rookies, especially the DBs. They've been playing pretty good. So I try to stay in the air a little bit, you know what I'm saying, tell them I notice them and just to keep improving.
That is Josh Jacobs, Raiders running back, talking about Nate Hobbs, who had the sack on Saturday against the Seattle Seahawks. Well, if it was a real game today, he would have had another sack coming off the edge, just like he did against the Seahawks on a little bit of a corner blitz that the Raiders dialed up. He easily would have sacked Matthew Stafford. Obviously, you can't touch the quarterbacks in these settings, so he did the right thing and pulled off, but if it had been a real game, watch out, Matthew Stafford, because that would have been face into turf without question. It was on the off the blind side. So good on Nate Hobbs and Lincoln. You know, between Hobbs, we just talked about Trayvon Morig. You know, it's early, and you know, we always have to preface this with saying it's got to start on September 13th. That's when we'll really find out about a lot of these guys. But you know, quietly and efficiently, these young players are making, you know, making plays in camp. They're doing what they should be doing at this point. And I need to ask you this: you've been around training camps, you've played in training camps. At what point can you kind of start telling, especially when it comes to a young guy? And I know you probably hated rookies. I'm going to put those words in your mouth. I think you've said that before. But at what point, honestly, you know, when you're over there kind of out of the corner of your eye watching some of the younger players on your team, do you start realizing that guy over there might have a little something to offer pretty soon?
Well, you're hoping that you see it pretty early. You're hoping that they get it. You're hoping that they show up. You're hoping that they do everything right, especially when you're looking at young guys. You know, when you go as a veteran, when you're on a team and you look at the draft – and you spend a first, second, third, fourth pick, whatever, however you want to go, you're hoping that these guys will pay off. You're hoping that they can contribute. They can buy into the program. They can contribute because the reason why you drafted them is the reason that you needed to fill that position. So you're hoping that they get it. So the earlier, the better. And as we talked about in an earlier segment, is that you want to see you're able to function as a team, you're able to come together as a team, and a guy who comes off of a college football field, you want to see that he gets it early.
Yeah, no question about it. And in Trayvon's case, it's just and we talked to Darren Waller about him. They've been matched up more than a few times. You know how safeties have to eventually move over and pick up the tight end. Sometimes right off the line of scrimmage, or if they cross over into their area of the field. But Darren Waller has been keeping an eye on Trayvon Morg himself, and here's Darren Waller talking about the young rookie from TCU.
Yeah, I mean, just a very calm presence about him. You know, it's not like he doesn't have to be loud or anything, but at the same time, you know, he just lets his play do the talking. Those are the kind of guys that, you know, I just, you know, respect from the gate because, you know, it's a very ego-driven game, as you can see, everybody's fighting and everything, but you got guys like him that can just be quiet, you know, like quiet assassins, you know, and just go out there and just handle their job, and I just respect that so much. But, yeah, I'm just excited to see him get out there and just patrol center field and go red line to red line.
That's Darren Waller talking about Trayvon Morg, and again, more and more, Trayvon Morg and Nate Hobbs are showing up, and that's what you need to see. You need to see guys flashing in camp. You need to, especially now as we're starting to close in on obviously the end of this preseason and the start of the regular season. It's building blocks, and it's a daily process. It's a practice by practice process, and the more we're seeing of them, the more they're settling in and starting to show up the way you want to see a young player at the positions that they play show up. And it's funny.
Yeah. Lincoln. You know, Vinny, here's the thing I'll add to what you're talking about, because I remember talking to Zach at the facility when they drafted the draft night, and how Zach Crockett, one of the scouts, and Mike Mayock, how excited they were that these picks had fell into their hands. That these guys had fell into their hands. They were there when they expected them to be there, and they got it. You know, there was so much talk about Alex Leatherwood with the first pick, but then you follow it up with Morgan and everything else. It's just these guys were excited because they felt they paid attention to the secondary. We knew the secondary needed help, and now they've got young contributors who know how to play, the game at a high speed, and know how to do things. And it's really a good thing moving forward, because it helps fill the holes that were blaringly obvious in this team last year.
I want to throw a name at you, and you tell me how much of an effect a guy like this could have on a young player as he's, you know, being groomed at a certain position. Nate Hobbs' head coach at Illinois was Lovie Smith for 4 years. I mean, does it, you know, when you, and Lovie Smith, obviously a defensive mastermind, he's back in the NFL as a defensive coordinator of the Houston Texans, but specifically his first, I think, job was as a secondary coach, if I'm not mistaken. He knows what it takes to be a good player at that position. How much do you think it benefits a guy like Nate Hobbs to have played under Lovie Smith for 4 years in college?
There are a lot of times, and I think, you know, the short answer is that it benefits a lot, because there are a lot of times we've watched this sort of administration, coaching staff, and scouting staff go after guys or go with the programs that are coached by guys who had pro experience, who have had some semblance of how it's to do on the second level, because they know that teaching, that tutoring, will be passed down, will be handed down. I mean, you know, look at, for what it's worth, the intangibles. Nate's what, 6'1"? You don't see a lot of corners as, you know, that good size, about 205 pounds, 210 pounds, wherever he's at. It's good size. You see what I'm saying? So it's one of those things where you're saying, okay, this is a good size. He's got good tangibles. He's got good technique, and he's got good basics that we can build upon, because he came from a program that was coached by a coaching staff that has pro experience.
Right, and you know, he's making the switch to inside. We talked to him about that on Saturday after the game. He had a nice game Saturday against the Seattle Seahawks. And what he likes about moving inside is that he's like, it's kind of half cornerback half linebacker. You've got, from the slot, you've got so much responsibility in the run game. You have to run fit in the run game as basically almost another linebacker out there when the play rolls in that direction. But you mentioned that he's 6'4", 205. It's a well put together 6'1", 205. Yeah. He's not a small guy, and so I think he'll be able to hold up in that slot position. So, by the way, Damon Arnette has been playing well as well. And I don't know if you've seen him recently, like if you stood next to him recently, but he's significantly bigger than he was last year, especially to end the season. And I don't think we got a chance to talk about this much, after everything kind of settled down and the offseason came about. But, you know, in retrospect, when you think about Damon Arnette, here's a guy that, you know, is playing the first three games of the season with a club on his hand. We all remember that and the pain that he was in. Then he undergoes surgery and is on the shelf for about 8 weeks. And then he comes back, and I'll never forget the first day that he did come back at the indoor facility in Henderson. I looked at him. He looked kind of frail to me, Lincoln, like relatively speaking, you know, in NFL terms.
Right.
He just looked frail. And I was like, oh, boy, this could be a problem. Well, as it turns out, you know, when you put some common sense to it, you can't lift weights and maintain strength and weight and good weight when you can't lift weights without because you have a hand injury. And so that's why, like, last year was such a tough year for him, but also from an assessment standpoint, Lincoln, kind of hard to figure out anything or make any kind of a hard call on Damon Arnette, given the injury that he dealt with and how it set him back in a lot of different ways, not just the on-field development, but a very key component in all of this, in being able to maintain your strength, maintain your weight, maintain your power, because that all left him. And by the time he came back, he was a shell of himself in that regard.
Well, I'm sure that he's heard a lot of the banter that's going around surrounding him, how the Raiders were not necessarily pleased with him. I mean, they went out and they signed Casey Hayward and thrusted him out of it. You know, you look at the depth chart, he's started the starting corner in front of him. So he's probably got a lot to prove. More importantly, because it was somewhat of a subpar year, I honestly think that he was playing out of position. It was not a conducive defense for his strengths or his talents that they were trying to play last year. So, you know, I'm not necessarily blaming him totally, but he's got some things that he has to do. He's got to prove his worth, his value, especially being a number one draft choice. And it's got to happen sooner rather than later.
We told the story last week, Lincoln, but we talked to Damon Arnette, and as he was waiting in the little waiting room to come out to talk to us in the media room, John Gruden was exiting, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I could see what was going on in that little room, and they kind of, you know, shared a handshake, and Gruden says to Damon, I kind of want to sit here and listen to what you have to say, you know, because I know it's going to be something entertaining, right? So he gets out onto the up on the podium, and we go through our normal questions. Then we ask him about Gruden and about their relationship, and this is what he said. He said they get along because, you know, let's face it, you know, we both got a few screws loose. He's like I probably have a few more screws on the floor than he does, like sitting out there on the floor. But we kind of connect in this sort of way. And, you know, you played for John Gruden, right? And I know that there's an image of him, and I know that there's a lot, that people write about him, say about him, assume about him. But I think at his core, and he could drive a hard bargain. I saw it on the sidelines these last couple of days. If you make a mistake, he's going to let you know about it in no uncertain terms. But I also think, and just talking to some players, I think there's a lot of they like the guy, and he's 58 years old, just turned 58 yesterday or the day before. But he's a kind of a young 58 years old, you know, and he still tries to connect with the younger generation. How was he? And at that time, he was a much younger man. But how was he to play for in that regard, and especially relationships that he had with players?
Grudel was passionate, and he was fun to play for. As a player, he was fun to play for because there was a lot of looseness to the game. He wasn't one of these, you know, 4-hour warmonger coaches that wanted to put you in pads and pound the hell out of you. We got work done. It was a very favorable system, especially to veterans. But you could see how passionate he was. Now, I watched the whole Chucky persona develop. I was there. I was there from day one when the camera first went on him, and you saw the facial, you know, the frictions, the way they did, he did things on the sideline, and the whole Chucky persona that was developed therefore after, why the camera loved him. And it's pretty much the same reason why a bunch of players, the players love him. They love playing for him. But by no means are you going to get, he's not going to let you slide if you're not performing the way you're supposed to. So that's important.
Absolutely. No question about it. By the way, we've got two tickets to give away in the 5 o'clock hour to the Dane Cook concert.
Oh, Dane Cosmo. Cook. Nice.
Yeah, Dane Cook, funny comedian, big fan of his. He's performing over at the Cosmo on Saturday, August 21st. We've got a pair of tickets, and we are going to give them out to caller number 7. So be around at the 5 o'clock hour, and the 7th caller from at that point will get a pair of tickets to go see Dane Cook at the Cosmo. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador, Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
We're back in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor and Raider great Lincoln Kennedy. This is Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Yeah, it's good to be out there just, you know, practicing, making it through the full practices. Feeling good now. Feel like I'm over the hump of the little bit of discomfort that I was feeling. So
I think everybody was breathing a sigh of relief when Darren Waller showed back up to practice this week, and he's been a full participant during the joint practices, or was a full participant during the joint practices the last 2 days against the Rams, torched some guys without question. It's kind of a, when you see it on the sideline, Lincoln, and that's where we were, and against another opponent when they're trying, you know, obviously it gets jacked up when there's a different jersey out there. But when you see the speed and the size of Darren Waller on the sideline, I'll say this. I would hate to be a defensive back lined up face-to-face, nose-to-nose, or in any region alongside number 83.
It's pretty freakish, isn't it? I remember the first time he donned a Raiders uniform, and he ran that little, you know, fly sweep. I was saying to myself up in the booth, like, why are they giving it to a tight end? But when he got to the speed, the outside, I was like, oh my goodness, who is this guy? And then I heard, started, you know, following up and reading the information that he, you know, being a Baltimore Raven, how, you know, they kind of got rid of him because of his off the field issues. And it was a little bit of, it was actually a treat for the Raiders to pick him up, because he's one of those tweeners. And I call it tweener because you don't see that type of talent out of guys his size and his mentality quite often, his capability. And that's, you know, it really begins to, I mean, plays havoc on defenses, because how do you guard him? Who do you use to guard him? A corner or a safety isn't physical enough, can't stay with him. Linebackers aren't quick enough, can't run with him. So who do you, he's one of those tweeners. I'm so glad the Raiders have him, because that's a weapon, especially in today's game. The slot receiver and the tight end can have a profound effect on the efficiency of an offense. We've seen it out of, you know, Travis Kelce and other guys in the league. But you get that, you know, you get that out of a slot, you get that production out of a tight end and a slot receiver, there's nowhere that you can, you know, anywhere you line him up, he's a mismatch if defense aren't paying attention to him.
Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, you just mentioned his speed, which is like absurd for a guy that's that big. You don't expect it, you know, and you just don't, not from somebody that's that tall. But then on top of that, his catch radius is unbelievable.
Yeah.
His leaping ability is crazy. He's strong.
Yeah.
So he can fight you for the ball if you want to go play some basketball and go up and get the rebound alongside him. And he runs really good routes. So he's the complete package, which is why, you know, I know a lot of people were freaking out when he missed a couple of weeks of practice. I knew, because I'd seen him off to the side. I knew that it wasn't anything all that serious, but obviously significant enough where they weren't going to rush him back. But I did ask him today, you know, hey, were you a little bit worried, you know, when you had to kind of sit out that amount of time, and what was going through your head? And here's Darren Waller talking about the process of getting back this week.
Yeah, nothing major. It was just frustrating because, you know, I always want to be out there working, and it's like, you know, within the last couple of years, like 2019, I don't think I missed a practice. In 2020, I missed like a couple during the season, so it's like, you know, I want to be out there, but it's at the same time, it's like maybe sometimes I do need to sit still for a little bit because it's a long season and just preparing for that.
You know, Lincoln, hearing him talk about the fact that he really hasn't missed a practice, maybe a one or two here or there, right, over these last few years. And, you know, I don't like to hark back on you know, his past life, basically, and what he continues to deal with in terms of staying sober and staying on the straight and narrow. And I wouldn't, but he's very proud of it. And I think he likes to talk about it because he wants to be a role model in that regard in so many different ways. He puts himself out there and puts his story out there and owns and wears the mistakes that he made in his life. But Lincoln, man, it's another reminder, and a beautiful reminder at that, or poignant, I should say. But, I mean, imagine what he almost surrendered. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah.
And also, like, what we were almost deprived of. I don't want to be selfish about it from a fan's perspective or a media's perspective, but we almost didn't get a chance to see somebody that, if he stays on the track that he's on, is going to go down as one of the great tight ends in this game. He's got every ingredient that you need. And it just shows you sometimes how elusive life can be and frail life can be, and the fine line that many of us walk on a day-to-day basis.
Well, it also shows me in a lot of ways, Vinny, is that, you know, life is life. It's unpredictable. And more importantly, you deal with your circumstances the best you can. Because when you look at it, what Darren Waller went through to get to this point is a great comeback story. You know what I mean? It's the Baltimore Ravens initially found this young man, and then because he couldn't stay on the right track, they had to let him go. And the Raiders, you know, end up picking him up and giving him a second chance. But here's a guy who took the most of his opportunity and turned his life around, not only for the benefit of the game, because we had enjoyed watching him, but for the benefit of himself. And that is a greater, you know, a story of perseverance and awareness that anyone can tell. He turned his life around for himself, and now he's not afraid to share it. He's not afraid to share the circumstances of what he's been through or where he came from or where he is right now. And it's a great, you know, it's a great story. It really is. I'm so proud of him because he's a nice guy. Not saying that as a Raider fan or covering the Raiders, he's a good guy. And I want to see good guys do well. And he's one of those talents that is going to do well for quite some time. And I'm glad that he's a part of the Silver and Black.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, when you do this long enough, you've played the game long enough, you're now on another side of things, although you get to know these guys as well. It's apparent early on when you meet Darren Waller that, like you just said, he's a class act, you know, and it's hard to believe. It's hard to like wrap your arms around the fact that, you know, what he was dealing with in his past. But even that is a reminder, Lincoln, you don't have to be a bad person to get involved in destructive things. And we all have, you know, or we're all susceptible to it, is what I'm saying. And addiction isn't always, and sometimes never is, like a sign of whether you're a good person or a bad person. We can all, and we're all susceptible to getting sucked into something that's ultimately going to be our demise or start pointing us into our demise. And just thank God that he was able to grab himself and get a hold of himself before something terrible happened. And he was probably pretty close, much closer than he'll probably ever want to think about, to that being the case. And to see him not just turn it around, Lincoln, but when a guy says to you, hey, I've only missed a couple of practices in the last, you know, couple 3 years or so, that's commitment. That's wanting to be out there. That's, like you said, he's completely turned it around to the point where he's one of the most reliable people in that building, when just 3-4 years ago, reliability and Darren Waller we're a contradiction in terms.
Yeah, you're right about that. It is. Like I said, it's a great turnaround story, great comeback story, and I'm glad it's working out for him.
And what's great for all of us is just being able to watch, him play. And like you said, he's a good guy, so it's easy to, you know, to feel good about that. I can't root for anybody, you know, in my line of work. But I can't say that I don't feel good for somebody, especially with an inspiring story like that. Yeah. Like I said, we've got a pair of tickets to Dane Cook, the hilarious comedian. He's gonna.
I want to go. How come I can't go? You didn't invite me, Vinny. You know what,
Lincoln? We're both working on.
Okay. All right.
We're both working Saturday night. Otherwise, I would have asked.
All right, Lincoln. I appreciate it, brother.
But yeah, we have our job to do August 21st, Saturday at SoFi Stadium, which we're happy to do. But yeah, two tickets to Dane Cook concert, the seventh caller starting at 5 o'clock at the top of the hour. Seventh caller beyond that gets two free tickets to go see Dane Cook in concert over at the Cosmo Theater. You are in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignore and Lincoln Kennedy, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. You're listening to Raider Nation Radio. 9:20 a.m. on a Thursday. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.